135.
Christ the highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold his come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead seen, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as men with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Certainly giving glory to the Lord today. And this is our time for our offering. Our offering today, this is the fourth Sunday of the month, so it goes to our mission fund. So this is our mission offering, both today, this morning, and tonight. Richie Johnston, will you please lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for your graciousness to us, Lord, the provisions you've given every one of us in this church, Lord, the blessings that you've showered down upon us, Lord, the fact that we live in this land of America, Lord, we have food on the table, Lord. We have this building to worship in, Lord. We thank you so much for your goodness to us, Lord. It's so gracious to us, and we thank you for it. Lord, we ask you to be with this offering now, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to use it, Lord. Help us to hear a soul saved because of it, Lord. Lives changed, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good to have you here today. Would you please open your Bibles here to Luke chapter 2, Luke 2. And bear with me. I know there's a lot of sickness going around. How many have a sick kid this morning? Nobody? How many have a sick kid? Sick child. All right. How many are sick yourself? Maybe you should go. No. Please don't. Don't leave. Oh, my. Here's a pastor telling you to leave church. How about that, huh? All right, I'm thankful for whoever put that water up there. I was struggling a little bit during the choir number there. A little tickle in my throat. I'm okay, though, so no sickness that I know of. By the way, thank you so much. If I had not said it before or later, thank you so much for all of you who expressed your Christmas wishes to me in card or gifts. We really do appreciate so many just well wishes, and thank you so much. You all are just a tremendous blessing to us. And we're so thankful and glad to be here as your pastor. It's really humbling and honoring in many ways. And so, again, thank you. Luke chapter 2, and today we're going to look at the shepherds. So we will actually begin reading, and let's begin reading at verse number 1. And we'll read pretty much the entire chapter. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I think I said the whole chapter. We'd be going on and on for that, wouldn't we? We'll end right there, verse number 20. But let me draw your attention back to verse 17. It says, when they had seen it, when they had seen it. The shepherds gazed upon the Lord Jesus. They caught a glimpse of him. Today, I trust that you'll catch a glimpse of the Lord Jesus as we look into the shepherds. While shepherds watch their flocks, the worship of the shepherds, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful example of these nameless shepherds, who are a wonderful example to us of how on that first Christmas day, that birthday of Jesus into this world, the shepherds came to him on their own accord after being invited by the angels to worship him. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to understand and learn the importance of worship from the shepherds, Help us to glean from them as you would and as you will this morning. Father, may you be our teacher. We love you. Thank you for all you've done for us. Help us in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been studying worship the last couple of weeks in reference as it relates to the Christmas story. There's all kind of worship in the Christmas story, and we want to look today at the shepherds. From the lips of Jesus, we learn that worship must be done in spirit and truth. From Mary's worship, we see praise and pondering. We defined worship as the direct acknowledgement to God of His nature, attributes, ways, and claims, whether by outgoing of the heart in praise or thanksgiving, or by deeds done in such acknowledgement. Literally, the word worship means in the original to bow down. Now, we often equate the bowing down with the shepherds. I don't think I've ever seen a manger scene where the shepherds were not bowing down, maybe some standing afar off. A careful reading of Scripture, though, doesn't say they bowed down. They could have, not dismissing that. But if you know, and actually in verse 16, 17, if you're with your Bible open, it says they came, which is very important. They came to worship, and they found Mary and Joseph, and it says they had seen it. I'm not trying to be technical here, but what do we learn from worship with the shepherds? Well, maybe not necessarily the idea of bowing down. It does say the wise men bowed down. It could have just been their gaze. You ever see something that you just can't keep your eyes off of? And you're filled with wonder and joy and amazement? If you ever traveled out west and seen some of the sights out west, I think on our mission trip a couple years ago, we saw the Grand Canyon for the first time. I saw it for the second time. I didn't remember when I was 4 years old and saw it, but you just gaze and you look and wonder. Wow. I can think the shepherds, their worship as they gazed upon that child and the implications of that. This was the Savior, the Messiah that has come. As the angel told us, the one we've been waiting for and prophesied for many, many years, as they gazed upon the face of Jesus. Many other things we can learn from the shepherds, and we're going to look at about four different things today. And I'll start with the word D. What are some character traits of worship that the shepherds displayed? Well, first of all, diligence. Look back in verse 8 with me. In verse number 8. It says, there were in the same country abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were watching and working. Now, let me just say this about shepherds. Shepherds were really a despised occupation. We have sentimentalized, is that a word? Sentimental. Depicted them in so many ways on Christmas cards and movies that they were think they were the most gentle, loving people. And not to say that these shepherds weren't. But many times shepherds were really a kind of a despised occupation. You remember going way back into the book of Genesis, around Genesis chapter 46, when Jacob's family was coming down to Egypt and they're meeting Pharaoh. Jacob told them, when you meet Pharaoh, tell them like it is. Tell them you are shepherds. Don't hide that from Pharaoh, because if you tell them you're shepherds, you will get put apart from the rest of the Egyptians. And because of this statement, he says every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. So as shepherds, the occupation was, back in the days of in Egypt and the pharaohs, so it was in this day. They were just kind of looked down upon. I mean, they were simple folk. I mean, they were just about as ordinary can get. They were people that lived outside. They were nameless. Think about that. You would think with such an important announcement being made and being the recipients of such an earth-shaking magnitude of announcement, their names would have been mentioned. We have no idea. We don't know their names. We don't know how many. Here, the point of the whole thing is that they're simple, ordinary folk. They were probably poor, maybe perhaps wearing the only clothes they had, maybe smelly, okay? Not trying to put a bad light on them, but God did not come, and God did not give his announcement to the rich, to the politicians. Think about if he went to the politicians, they'd probably want the press there, you know? He did not give his announcement to kings or to the religious people in the temple who probably would have questioned the angelic announcement, got their manuscripts out and so forth. No, he came to ordinary folk like you and I, can't get any more ordinary than these shepherds. Now, that's what the people thought of them. In fact, even they, for the most part, shepherds were banned from any kind of worship in the temple and any kind of thing. These shepherds, perhaps, though, were keeping sheep for the temple sacrifices. And so they were a little bit more esteemed. And in God's eyes, they were my very ordinary, but they were very special people to God. And God, as God chose Mary and as God chose Joseph, God also chose the shepherds to reveal the most important news of the whole world, that the Savior has come. But notice with me here in verse 8 again that these shepherds were working. Work is a noble thing. Don't ever like get the idea that, hey, when I get to heaven, there'll be no more work. I think we'll serve God in the temple, so forth. It'll talk about that. Really, the curse is not work in itself. The curse is hard work. All right? And when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam, he says, by thorns and thistles you shall work, by the sweat of your brow, and so forth. So work is a noble thing. And they worked hard. So many things in Scripture talk about our work. Look with me, Colossians chapter 3, quickly. When we do our work, it ought to be unto the Lord. And again, I think these were godly men. I think they believed in the Lord. I think they trusted in Him. They were looking for the salvation of Israel. And so when they came and said that the Savior's born, that was good, exciting news to them. The promised one had come. But in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. By the way, what will get you through your job? What will get you through your job is realizing that you serve the Lord. Not serving your boss. You're not working for the boss. You're not working for the company. You're working for the Lord to please and honor Him. And that's what the shepherds were hardworking people. And in that way, they honored God. And in that way, they worshiped the Lord. They worshiped the Lord with their diligence. It points out that they were out watching their flock. By the way, why were they watching their flock by night? Well, some said that was the season of the year that these sheep gave birth. And little lambs were born. Could have very well been. And there's so many pictures here, perhaps. As lambs were being born, the Lamb of God was being born in Bethlehem. These were shepherds tending for the sheep for the temple sacrifice. As these lambs were being born for the sacrifice, so was the Lamb of God, as a sacrifice to the world, being born in Bethlehem. So they were hardworking. They worshiped God with their diligence. Secondly, they worshiped God with their decisiveness. Look in verse 15 of Luke chapter 2. Go back there just a minute. I'm amazed at how the disciples acted with decisiveness. All right? They didn't hem and haw. In fact, they made a decision quickly after the angels told him the message. Verse 15, it says, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, they spoke to each other, and they said, let us, what's the next word? Now, go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. All right? They said, let's do this thing and let's do it now. You ever have a conversation with people and no one seems to make a decision? How frustrating is that? You say, yeah, just at work this past week. Okay. Somebody make a decision. What are we going to do? You know? And these shepherds decisively made a decision, and they made the right decision. The key words here in this verse are let us. That's the decision. And then what they were going to do is in the two words later, also the word now is important, but they said let us, and then the word go. Their act of worship that I primarily see here is the idea of going to the place and see the Christ child. So many times we say, well, I can worship wherever I want to worship. I can worship at home. I can worship in the field. I can worship on my job. I can worship at the ball game. I've seen even posts on that on social media. Hey, but the shepherd said, let's go to the place where Jesus is, as they were invited to by the angels. Let us go. The decisiveness. I've asked some young men to help me this morning. And if you're visiting here today, I'm not looking at them from back here. I'm looking for that microphone I just borrowed from. Here it is. All right. If you weren't with us at the production, we had quite a few shepherds come up. So I've asked a couple of them if they could come out here. So shepherds, are you back there? Oh, they're up here. Okay, come on out. And they very graciously obliged with me to be shepherds again this morning. Okay, thank you so much. And thank you, Shepherd 1 and Shepherd 2. Appreciate you guys being here. But they acted with decisiveness, all right? They saw the light, and you recall, if you were here for the production, this light came on, and I still haven't watched that. I was sitting back here, and I couldn't even see it. I need to watch it. It's on Facebook still, I believe. Thank you. Somebody said yes. Okay, you can still watch it if you have that, all right? What if they decided to just not go? What if they tarried? What if they waited a little bit, all right? And they just said, we heard the news, but... let's just wait. Let's just hang around. All right, so here's the one. You're the one that encouraged. This is not the same. This is brother here, okay? This is not the same one that acted that time, all right? But you're the one that heard the news. So why don't you just recreate that and say, hey, let's go see the baby.
Let's go.
Hello?
Let's go.
All right, and here now, this shepherd here says, you know what? Can you hear me? This is impromptu acting, okay, here.
Let's stay and watch the football game tonight.
Yeah. How many of you said something like that? This is not what the shepherds did, okay? So we're learning from the opposite here. No, they didn't stay around and just say, hey, let's just see what, okay. How many of you said something like,
see what's on my phone.
Did you hear that? Is this on? Okay, let's see what's on my phone. No. They acted, thank you. Why don't you just, you guys can just, here, why don't you sit up here for a minute. No, they acted with the, they didn't tarry. They just didn't say, hey, let's just see what's going on. Let's see what's on my phone, or let's watch the football game, or this kind of thing. No, they said, let's go. Hey, you know, let me just add this in here. Where do we worship today? Right here. All right. And I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. Maybe you're not here all the time, but you're here this morning. But can I encourage you, be decisive about coming to the place of worship. You know, those shepherds, they just went and they said, let's go now. Let's go and let's do it. Let's go right now. And they were decisive about it. Turn with me to Hebrews 10 just a minute. Can I show you a verse? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. You know this verse, and you thought probably I'd get to it somewhere, sometime, right? I've heard people say this is the only verse in the Bible that talks anything about going to church. One verse, if there's only one verse in the Bible that says about going to church, that's enough for me. Amen? Amen. Look what it says. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Don't forsake assembling. All right, what do? We assemble. The Bible says don't forsake it. Don't stop. Listen, I've known many Christians get off track because they stopped going to the place of worship. They stopped going to the place where God fed their souls. Many times we have people just come once or twice a year. Or maybe you're in the habit of just coming Sunday morning. Can I encourage you? Take the next step and come Sunday night. Maybe if you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, take the next step and say, let's go start going Wednesday night. And make a decision and say, hey, this is the place I need to be. Why? Well, verse 25 tells us, because when you come, you get exhortation from the preaching, from one another. And you ought to do it so much the more as you see the day approaching. By the way, it's not the only verse in Scripture. Go back with me to Deuteronomy 4. In fact, all throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, God says he wants to gather his people together. Gather his people together. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 10. Look at Deuteronomy 4:10, just as an example. I'll read verse 9 as well. It says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that the Lord stood that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, and he recalls what the Lord said, and notice what he says, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they may live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. God says, gather the people together. Come together. Come assemble yourselves together. The word church itself means called out assembly. Hey, one aspect of worship is coming together. In fact, there's another reason there in Deuteronomy 4:12. What does it say? That they may what? Look at the end of the verse. Teach their children. Hey, parents, one of the greatest things about you coming with your family is that they are getting instruction. Your children are getting instruction from God's word. All right? If you're in looking and choosing a church, maybe you're visiting with us today, I encourage you to choose one that preaches from the Bible. I encourage you to choose one that preaches the gospel. It's not just giving some kind of moral lesson or something, but no, someone that opens up the word of God, a church that opens up the word of God and says, hey, let's see what the word of God says. That's the type of church you want to be in. And I'm glad that you made it here today. And we do use the Bible. And we do open it up. And we do preach the gospel here. All right? The gathering of the people together. Can I encourage you, in your worship, come to God's place and say, hey, I want to be more faithful. In 2020, I want to be more faithful in coming to church. You know, I think about people that have passed on. I think about, and I'm starting naming names. I'm going to forget somebody. But so many loved ones have passed on since I've been here, all right? But they were faithful church members. And when I think of them, I think about the place that they used to sit in different places around this congregation, you know? And they were here every time the door was open. You know what? As I think back on that, I think back on that fact with gratitude and honor in my heart for that person because of their example that they were to me. And they were to my children. I remember growing up, there was a couple ladies in the church there. And I remember asking my mom about them. Their names were Carol Phillips and Peggy Day. If any of your family hears this on the internet, I want to let you know I honored and loved your parents. Carol's still living, I think, in a nursing home in New Jersey somewhere. But I remember asking my parents about them. They both taught Sunday school. And my parents, this is the statement they made about them. They said, they are as faithful as the day is long. And they were. Those two ladies were there every time the door was open. Faithful, faithful. In fact, if they weren't there, you knew something was wrong. Somebody must be sick, or maybe they're out of town. You know that there wasn't something going on in their family that they said, hey, we're skipping church, or something else. You know, how easy is it today in today's culture to make such easy choices to miss church? Now, I'll say church is not the only thing there is to our Christian life. I'm the first to recognize that. Many times spiritual growth comes by a daily walk with God and the Word of God. But church is vital to that. And if we miss it, you're hurting your spiritual life. In fact, two things about missing church. Number one, it's disobedience to the Lord. It's disobedience. Because God commanded it, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And if you do feel bad about missing church because you went to a ball game or something, you should feel bad. Amen. Because that's God's Holy Spirit convicting you. And parents, can I encourage you again, as we think of the shepherds, that they went to that place of worship. Can I encourage you with your families, be decisive and say, you know what? We're going to make new priorities. We're going to be in God's house. That's priority number one. And if we have to, listen, I'm stepping on toes, but if we have to forfeit a game, if we have to miss a game, if we have to miss a birthday party, if we have to miss something else, we're going to do it because God is number one. And parents, if you're taking them somewhere else and saying it's okay to miss church once in a while, you're teaching your children that church is not important. And when they grow up, they'll take another step down and they'll probably not go hardly any at all. Listen, it is important. And the place of worship is important. And God says we need to gather ourselves together. But you know, secondly, though, it's not just disobedience. It's disappointing. Psalm 122 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. You know, so in other words, if we miss it, it's disappointing. You know what I find, too, a lot of times? The church service you miss is when God really does something. And I hear people saying, oh, I missed it. Yeah, you missed it. God might have really done something that Sunday you weren't there. And you might have really received a blessing that you just didn't get because. So it's disappointing as well. Hey, when I see the shepherds, I think of them coming. I see their diligence, but I see their decisiveness in making a decision that they're going to go see the Christ child. They're going to gaze upon the Lord. They're going to get a glimpse of him in that new and real way. Well, our shepherds, I'm still using them. All right, so they're like, how long are we going to be sitting here? All right, here's another one. Go back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Because not only the disciples worshiped in their diligence, and they worshiped with decisiveness, but they also worshiped without delay. Now, this is closely related to the other one, but notice here in Luke 2:16. It says, and they came with, what's the next word? Haste. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. That is, they didn't piddle-paddle around. You know, sometimes we say, haste makes waste. That's people's buzzword there today. But I understand what that's saying, because if you do something really in a hurry, you're going to forget something, you have to do it over again. But can I say this sometimes, and this doesn't really rhyme or anything else, but sometimes haste makes accomplishments. Because if we don't do things with haste, sometimes we don't do them at all. In fact, Satan, listen to this, Satan is not so much concerned with how much good you do as long as you don't do it today. Yeah, I think I'm going to do some good today. No, not today. Let's go back to the shepherds. How about if they delayed? Let's stand up again here for a minute, all right? And Titus, why don't you, let's go on down. Say, let's go see the Christ child.
Let's go see the Christ child.
You got it, all right. And he's coming along, and here our lazy shepherd says, I don't want you to hear what I'm telling. Let's go see the boys over here. You still heard, didn't you? All right.
Let's go see the guys over there.
All right, he says, let's go see the guys over there, all right? No, or let's see, think of something else. What else can you do? I'm really putting them on the spot now. We already talked about the football game.
Let's go play a game.
All right. Now, you know what they didn't know? They ran out, okay? All right, and they took off, and they said, let's go see the Christ child. They did it without delay. All right, thanks. You guys, just sit down here 1 second, and I'll be right back with you. No, they did it without delay. They took off. You know, I remember my brother one time, I was buying a car, and I was a teenager, maybe at college, and we found a car that I wanted, and I was like, well, I don't know, let me think about it, and I'm so glad for a good brother that said, John, is this the car you want? I said, yes, it is. Is that the price you want to pay? I said, yes, it is. Well, then do it right now and buy the car. That's what my wife had to tell me, too. Let's get married. Come on. Do it without delay. You know, hey, sometimes, no. Well, we won't get into all that. But sometimes we just need to be pushed and say, you know what? This is high time to do it. This is high time to do it. You know what the Bible says about salvation? Behold, what? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you're not saved and you think you're not saved, stop putting it off. Don't say, hey, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Hey, you know the best day to do it? Right here, right today, December 22nd, 2019. Do it before you leave the building. Say, I'm tired of goofing around with this. When that invitation's given, I'm taking a step out and I want to talk to somebody about it and get it settled. Young person, Tina, you might be 12 years old here today. You need to be saved. If you're 50 years old and you're not sure, you need to be saved. Today's the day of salvation. Christians, stop fooling around and saying, well, I'm going to serve God when I'm 20. Or I'm going to serve God when I'm 40. No, today's the day to do it. In fact, I love the motto for the youth group. Tell me if I'm wrong. Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know what? That's an act of worship, the shepherds did. They did it without delay. I'm giving you bad examples up here, because that's not what the shepherds did at all, didn't they? All right? They took off, they were decisive, and they did it without delay. Here's a third one, number three. They did it. I'm losing my point here in my outline here, all right? They did it without delay. Okay, here it is. And they did it with delight. Look at verses 17 to 20. It says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. All right? Hey, they went out and told people. All right. Verse number 20, it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they heard and seen as it was told them. They were excited. After the angel came to them, they didn't stretch. Pretend you're stretching and going to bed. They didn't yawn, fall asleep, go lay down. That's not what the shepherds did. All right? Okay, get up. Now you got to give the right example. Just go run out and go out the back. There you go. All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Appreciate them helping me out today. All right. No, they went and told and were excited. And they went it with delight. They did it with delight. Okay. Hey, do you come to church excited? Yawn, or are you bored or yawning on your way and while you're here? It's not just about church. It's about reading the Word of God. You know what? Can I tell you? I look forward to having my devotions. You say, oh, Pastor, I knew you're weird. No, I really think you're weird. I look forward to it. Now, you know, sometimes, reading the Bible is a duty. You have to do it, whether you feel like it or not. You should, and get in the habit. But, you know, I get up in the morning. First thing I do, take the dog out. Second thing I do, take the shower. Third thing I do, get the coffee on. Fourth thing I do, I just read the Bible. And I start thinking, oh, where am I reading from today? Oh, yeah, well, I can't wait to get into that. Now, I'm not saying I'm doing cartwheels or anything, but I look forward to it, you know. So should we. How many times does the psalmist say, I delight in thy word? All right? The shepherds were glorifying, praising God. We would say giving high fives, excited, you know. And when they did that, they wanted to tell others. You know, I don't understand why we have to prod and pull everybody to try to go witnessing and tell people about Christ. Come on, you need to tell somebody. It's like pulling an old donkey there. You know, come on, let's go. Go soul winning. Learn about soul winning. Get in a soul winning class, you know. And boy, you know, No, hey, if you're saved and you're worshiping God, you ought to be excited about trying to tell somebody. Because you got the best news they've ever heard. I think about the shepherds. It's interesting. Go back here just a minute. When the angel came to him, isn't it interesting here? Verse 10. Verse 9. First of all, ordinary day, doing nothing really, ordinary stuff, watching sheep, probably thinking about their family, maybe thinking about some problems, who knows what was there in their mind. Maybe some weren't feeling good. Maybe some had just eaten a meal. Maybe some were sleepy. It says, verse 9, and lo, or behold, out of the blue, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Glory of the Lord shone around about. They're sore afraid. Hey, if you got a knock on your door at 2 in the morning and all you saw was blue police lights flashing around outside, I think you'd be a little afraid. I'd be a little afraid. Number one, something happened to one of my kids. Number two, am I getting arrested? Or number three, is there a fire? I would have no idea what in the world's going on. I'd be afraid. And the shepherds were too. Because most time when we're startled, we think it's bad news, don't we? But instead, as the door continued to knock and you got out drowsily out of bed and you saw all the lights flashing around coming in through your windows and you saw a policeman, recognize a policeman at your door, and you opened up the door and he smiled at you and he saw the dread and look on your face. He says, hey, no, hey, this is not bad news. This is good news. That's what the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings. And then the policeman says, hey, this is not only something good, this is something that you're going to be excited about. It's going to bring great joy to you. And he says, here's something good that happened. There's a Savior born tonight. You know? And how excited they got. And they were decisive. They were diligent. They did it without delay. And they did it with delight. And they came. Hey, can I encourage you today with the shepherds? Come to Christ. If you're not saved, would you come? If you are saved, would you make a new commitment? Father, say, Lord, I want to be like the shepherds. I want to worship. I want to gaze upon the Christ child. And when I want to do it with delight, and I want to do it with decisiveness. Father, help me to do those things. Let's pray together. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, can I ask you a very important question? Are you saved? The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Oh, the Holy Spirit speaking and prodding to your heart, would you be saved today? You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not even sure what you're talking about being saved. I'm talking about being born again. talking about accepting Christ, trusting Him as your Savior. In your heart of hearts, while no one's looking around, while we're all in the spirit of prayer, would you just say, that's me? Would you pray for me? Would you just, by uplifted hand, just raise your hand and say, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure about my salvation. Pray for me. It's the most important thing in the world. Anyone? Just raise your hand quickly. Put it right up, right down, just so I can know to pray for you. Is there one? Christian, what about you? Hey, are you putting Christ a priority? Is God a priority in your family? The shepherd's boy, he was a priority. They said, let's go. Let's do it with haste. Let's do it with diligence. Let's just do it with delight. Is coming to God's house a priority? Is worshiping God in spirit and truth a priority with you? God wants to be number one in your life and in your family. Oh, may we make a renewed commitment to God to worship Him as the shepherds did. Father, I pray that You'll help, even during this invitation time, that we might get right with You. Lord, help us to listen to Your Holy Spirit and to do as You speak, we pray in Jesus' name. Head bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand to your feet, please? In the spirit of prayer, Christians praying, this invitation is for you, unbeliever. If you're not sure you're safe, would you come? Get it settled today. You just slip out in the aisle. Very simply, I'll be here to meet you. I will send you to a counselor that can go to a side room. No one's looking around. We want to do it kind of in private. And someone can take you to a side room and show you how you know you can be saved. Christian, if God's dealing with your heart, would you make things right with God as the instruments play?
Number 134, and we'll sing that song, Emmanuel.